So we find in the beginning of Tetzaveh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a new list of items that need to be prepared for the Mishkan. Ve'atal tesavez b'nei Yisrael b'kol elech ha-shemen zay zach kasis la-ma'or. To prepare a special oil that's going to be used for the menorah. The role of shemen in the mikdash is very, very central. It serves many different purposes. There's shemen for the menorah. There's shemen brought in many of the karbanos, the karban mincha. There's shemen that's used for the shemen hamishcha. That allows objects to be consecrated, right? Objects that are both material, inanimate objects, like the kalim, and objects that are people. Meaning the kohanim have to be consecrated with the shemen hamishcha in order to be viable workers, so to speak, in the mikdash. As we mentioned last week, the central theme through all the items that are functioning in the mishkan in the mikdash is that every one of them is acting out some supernal theme that Moshe Rabbeinu experienced at Sinai, right? That you will fashion all of these things in the manner in which you saw while you were on the mountain. And this phrase repeats itself in a variety of versions throughout the whole instruction of the Mishkan. That something is being acted out. There's something that's being expressed and described, yeah, through all of the elements of the Mishkan. I want to hone in on one particular theme. This is a theme that runs through all the parashiyos of the Mishkan. Of the theme of what is the functionality of the chachma, or the Dvar Hashem, that emanates out of the Mishkan. We're told very clearly in last week's parasha that the Aron was the place from which the Dvar Hashem emanated out from, Mibein Shnei Akruvim, but from between the two kruvim, which we will get to in a moment, what exactly these kruvim were, and from there it emanated out, right in a gradational fashion. It went into the kodesh, out of the kodesh, into the azara, and then from the azara into the outer dimensions of the mikdash as well. Right, there is a. In the pasuk in Mishlei, we find a relatively well known pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech gives a mashal for the dynamic of Torah. Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or, that the mitzvah to the Torah is like a candle to the flame. Now, very often when we hear the word candle in English, so we think of the piece of wax with the wick in the middle. But really, the word ner is referring to a type of kli. It's referring to a type of vessel. The vessel that holds fuel for the flame, and then you put a wick inside inside the fuel, okay? And then you can light the wick, and the wick draws from the fuel. So the mitzvah to the Torah is like the relationship between this ner and the fire. The Torah is the fire. And there's fuel that's right that's fueling this Torah. It's allowing the Torah to emanate. The or in all of its symbolic meaning throughout all of Kisvei HaKodesh, or is referring to the Chachma, the illumination, right? To be illuminated, to be enlightened, because you see the light. You're now everything becomes clear. Everything becomes illuminated. But before that illumination can occur, there's something that needs to give that illumination fuel. And the thing that fuels the fire, what fuels the fire of Torah, the light of Torah, the thing that fuels the light is the shemen. The shemen precedes, it precedes the manifested Torah that we're able to interact with. I want to delve into a little bit the symbolism of what this means and the mussar that we're supposed to learn from this. In the Bavli in Maseches Chagiga, the Gemara is explaining the psukim in the beginning of Sefer Yechezkel and the vision that he has of the Merkava, of this construct that he sees with different beings supporting it and carrying the Shekhinah through the cosmos. The Vidvus Pneim Pnei Adam Upnei Arye El Hayamin La'ar Basam Upnei Ashur Mismol. And it said, right, the structure had four sides. One was a man's face, one was a lion, the other one was an ox, and then an eagle. So says the Gemara, but we have a stira, because in the later parak of Yechezkel, in parak Yud, it says, V'arba panim le'echad, p'nei echad, p'nei ha'kruv, u'p'nei ha'sheni, etc. So says the Gemara, why is it called one place, why is it called an Adam, and another place it's called a Kruv? So my Kruv, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Keravia, like a small child. Shechein b'bavel koren liyanuka ravia. That in Aramaic, a small child is a ravia. Amar le repapa la abaye. Ela me'ata dechsev p'nei ha'echad, p'nei ha'kruv, p'nei ha'sheni, p'nei ha'adam. Right, so how do we work out that stira in the psukim? So says the Gemara, Hainu p'nei kruv, hainu p'nei adam. Both are the faces of a man. Both the kruv and the adam are human faces. Ape ravrave, v'ape zutre. One is a small face, as we said before, right? The ravia is a child. And one is a big face. Okay? The kruvim that were on the... That were placed on the Aron. Okay, these two images of the Kruvim. These were embodying these two attributes: the small face and the big face, the Ape Ravrve and the Ape Zutre. There is a concept that the Balei Nistar speak about. How we speak about the idea of Chachma, right? Wisdom. Right? How do we access this dimension? How do we access Chachma? The pasuk in Iov, in Perek Chavches, Mebchina Horos Chibesh V'Ta'aluma Yotzi Or. From the hidden, he lets out light. The Chachma Me'ayin Timasei. Chachma, from where does it come from? It's like a rhetorical question. Where is the source of where this chachma emanates from? This is an Iyov in Perek Chavches. Yeah. Where does it come from? So it says the Malbim, ha chachma me'ayin timotzei, ha chachma she'adavar hayoser yakar ba'olam lo noda lanu. It is not known to us. Lo ha'ofanim sha'ayidei timotzei v'tis galeh. We don't know how where it's found and from where it emanates from. Shalzen ne'amar me'ayin timotzei. Ayin is like nothing, right? It's nothingness. Yeah. Haynu al yedei eiza tachbula. How do we achieve it? V'gam lo amakom shasham etziusa. We don't know where it exists. Yeah. That's what's being declared. What's being said over here is we often relate to our thoughts, to how we have, you know, a bunch of information in our heads. We have a bunch of stuff going on in our mind, and through discipline and through practice and through honing our intellectual skills, we're able to make order of all the facts running through our minds, and it becomes clear, and then we write it down on a piece of paper, or we, you know, make a word file out of it, or we tell it over to our friends, and that's how we sort out, that's essentially the process of intellectual pursuit. But what's being said over here is the very, very important nakuda, that the beginning of that process is an inspiration from a dimension that is fundamentally beyond the person. It's fundamentally beyond where the person is. It's me'ayin, timatzei. It comes from outside the person. The stage of chachma, chachma as such, the technical definition of chachma, as we will see, is the thing that comes from outside of the person's capabilities and capacities. We see in Parshas Vayakel, when the character of Bezalel is introduced, he's going to be the one to fashion all of the items in the Mishkan. So we're told very explicitly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives this person certain capabilities. He gives him three distinct qualities. Chachma, Tfuna, and Das. These three qualities are repeated again throughout Kisvei HaKadosh. Right? Ki Hashem yitein chachma mipiv das utvuna. Right? God gives chachma, he gives das, he gives understanding. Right? These three qualities are the breakdown of the whole intellectual cognitive process. Chachma, tvuna, and das. There are many nuschos in tefillah, that in the bracha, in the fourth bracha of Shmon Esrei. Right? It says explicitly, v'chanenu meitcha chachma bina v'das. Because we see that these are the three qualities within human cognition, within human consciousness. Says Rashi on this pasuk, b'chachma b'tvuna v'das, ha-chachma ze ma sha'odah mekabel merabo. This is what a person receives from his teacher. Tvuna, ze halomei davar mitoch davar. That's already the deduction or the comparing and contrasting that the person does in their mind. The analytical process is the bina, but the chachma is what the person receives from outside. It's given to him from outside. It's not in there already. Right, it's revealed from another place. A quote from a few sections from the Zohar. This is the first one is in Parshas Ha'azinu and Daf Reish Tzadi. So says the Zohar, Hai Chochmasa, this attribute of Chochma, Ikre Eden. It is called in the Torah, when the Torah talks about this quality, it uses the word Eden. V'hai Eden ismashech me'eden ila satima dechol stimen. It is closed. Satum. Okay? It's closed. Eden. When the Torah talks about Chachma, the first time it introduces the idea of Chachma, it uses the word Eden. Okay? Umehai Eden ikre shirusa. Right, that's the first time that it's manifested to us, that it expresses itself. Umehai Eden, excuse me, the description that the Zohar is referring to is obviously the description of the construct of the place where Adam Arishon finds himself. Yeah. Torah describes three specific aspects of this place where Adam Arishon is. The Nahar Yotze Me Eden Lahashkos Es Hagan, that a river flows out of Eden and comes down to the garden. Adam Arishon is not in Eden; he's in Gan Eden, and there's a river that flows out of Eden to irrigate this garden. Says the Zohar, when the Torah is referring to these three attributes, it's referring to the process of human consciousness itself. That's what it's referring to. Eden, Nahar, Gan. Says the Zohar, Eden is the initial kickoff. It's the Chachma. It's received from outside. It's Satum. It's closed. The person doesn't have access to it. It needs to be given to him. Chachma, Mashmekabel Mirabo. Mashmekabel Mirabo. And then from Eden flows a river, which is the process, the analytical process that takes place inside the person's own mind. Right? Eden, Nahar, Gan. That's the process. We see a very, very fascinating thing in Sefer Tehillim. We find many, many references. The David HaMelech is talking about oil. He's singing the praises of oil. Right? Dishanta b'shemen roshi. Right? Right? Batarim kereim karni balosi b'shemen ra'anan. That my horns, right, which is a euphemism for the head, obviously, yeah, will be saturated in oil. What is this oil that David HaMelech is constantly referring to? Okay, on that pasuk, on the first pasuk in Tehillim that we just quoted, right, Dishanta b'shemen roshi. So Rashi doesn't say anything. We have to wait till the whole way at the end of Sefer Tehillim, okay, in Perek Kuf Mem Aleph. Yahalmeni tzadik chesed, the righteous should give me kindness. V'yochicheni shemen rosh al yoni roshi, the oil of the head should not leave my head. Shemen rosh, okay. Think about this in the context of the Mishkan, right? That the Kohanim, these are the first people that we see that they had to receive shemen on their heads in order to be able to be mukshar, in order to be able to work in the Mishkan. Says Rashi, Shemen Rosh Al Yanu Roshi. Shemen Malchus. This is the Shemen of kingship. Shehutzak Al Roshi, that was put on my head. Shene Emar, as it says earlier on in Berak Chav Gimel, Dishanta B'Shemen Roshi. The oil that saturated my head. Al Yasiras Roshi, Mitochachas Hatzadik Laleches V'Lochomes Po'ale Adam. The shemen that David is referring to is the tochacha that he receives from a tzaddik, from a righteous person, that inspires him to go do what he's supposed to do. That's what he's referring to. That's the shemen rosh. When David HaMelech is praying for the shemen, this is what he's praying for. He's praying for some inspiration that comes from outside of him. This is the ape ravrave and the ape zutre that is taking place in the Mishkan. The two kruvim looking at each other. What does that mean, the Ape Ravrave and Ape Zutra? The Ape Ravrave, Rabosai, the Ape Ravrave, the big face, right? When two people are facing each other and interacting with each other, there's the big face that is the giving over the inspiration, that is giving over the wisdom, that is giving over the seminal knowledge, and there's the Ape Zutra, the small face, which is receiving it and inculcating it and processing it. That's the process. That is the dynamic that's being alluded to. The Ape Ravrave and the Ape Zutre. And from between those two Kruvim, that's where the Dvar Hashem emanates from. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu hears the Dvar Hashem. Right, as the Midrash says, right? Like you have to be standing directly in between, right? In alignment between the Kruvim. If you were a little bit to the side or a little bit to that side, right? You wouldn't hear it. You had to be in alignment between the two Kruvim Mamish in order to be able to hear the Dvar Hashem. What's being said over here? What's being said is that there's something about this attribute of chachma, of the seminal inspiration, that needs to come from outside of you. It needs to come from someone else. Someone needs to give it over. It can't be found just, you know, you can't contemplate your way to enlightenment. It has to be given. It has to be given to you. The contemplation is good because it quiets the mind and allows you to be able to receive the inspiration. This is the Gemara in Sotah we wanted to say. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein ha'adam mekabel chachma ela ad sheyasa atzmo ayin, until he makes himself nothing. Shene'emar, the pasuk that we quoted from Eov, ha'chachma me'ayin timotzei. Me'ayin timotzei. Meaning a person needs to recognize that he has to have that humility, to realize that he needs to receive something that's from outside of him. It's fundamentally beyond his capability. That's where chachma emanates from. It's from having the anivus, it's from having the self-awareness that there needs to be something that's given from outside. It's not contained within. If it was contained within, then it wouldn't be the chachma ilah. It wouldn't be the supernal wisdom. It wouldn't be supernal because you'd already have it. It needs to be given. It needs to be given over. And it could be given over by, right, Mashal de Mekabel Mirabo, from his teacher, from someone who's, you know, his superior, but doesn't necessarily need to come from someone who's your superior. It can come from anyone. It can come from someone who's just another insightful individual that you're sitting there talking with and having an honest conversation with. Where's the Avos? The Mishnah in Avos in Perek Gimel. Chananya Sgana Kohanim. Excuse me, Chananya ben Tradyon, Shnayim shiyoshvim de'ein b'neihem divrei Torah hareza moshav leitzim. Two people that are sitting together and conversing and don't mention any words of wisdom. Do not mention any words of Torah. It's a moshav leitzim. As David HaMelech describes, moshav leitzim lo yashav. He does not sit in the place of leitzim. Abel shnayim shiyoshvim de'yesh b'neihem divrei Torah shchina shruya imayim. The shchina is between them. Shne'emar az nidivru yirei Hashem ish al re'ehu, a man to his friend. Vayakshev Hashem vayishma, God will hear their words. Vayichatev b'sefer zikaron lefonav, and write them down before him, the words that they're exchanging, that these two friends are exchanging, God will write them down. This is a pasuk in Malachi, in Paragimel. Li'arei Hashem l'choshvei shemo, for those who live in fear of God, and for those who value his name. Think about what's being said over here. This is playing out the kruvim. The kruvim, ish el re'ehu, he even calls it ish el achiv. It calls the kruvim a man to his friend. Two people that are sitting together and speaking divrei Torah, they are acting out the kruvim. And the shechina is shruya b'neihem. Just like the Dvar Hashem was yotzi mibein shnei kruvim in the Mikdash, two people who are sitting and having a meaningful conversation with the intention of accessing something that is profound and beyond their current capability, that is able to be that inspiration. Right? It used to be not so long ago in Klal Yisrael. I mean, we've lost so much. But these practices of the chaverim makshivim, as the Navi says, the listening friends, the friends who sit and listen to each other. Shechina shruya b'neihem. The shechina is between them. Why is the shechina between them? Because what one friend needs, the other friend has. Right, to quote the relatively famous thinker from the past 200 years, right? I might have your key and you might have my key. That's typically how it works. Yeah. Friends that are just sitting, chaverim makshivim, friends sitting and listening to each other. Because they're able to trigger for each other the chachma ilah, as the Zohar said, steamin mikol steamin, that it's closed. It's closed, it's fundamentally inaccessible. That's what makes it supernal. That's what makes it so high. Because it's beyond where you're holding. It needs to be given over by someone else. Masha mekabel mirabo. When we get this wrong, Rabbi Zay, because there's a way of getting this wrong. There's a way that when a person does not have the humility that we saw from Rabbi Yochanan, right? A person does not receive wisdom until he makes himself ayin. If he doesn't recognize that, he thinks that the sum total of reality, the sum total of all wisdom, is already contained within his mind. And all he needs to do is think about it enough so that he can get to the right answer. But there's nothing fundamentally beyond him. When a person has that attitude, either implicitly or explicitly, things go very, very wrong. This is another quote from the Zohar, Daf Reish Ayin Gimel from Parshas Ekev. Listen to a Zohar, Rabosai. Raza de Oneg, the secret of what is called Oneg, that we see in various places, like by Shabbat. That's actually the context of the Zohar right now. It's talking about different aspects of Shabbat, right? V'karosel Shabbas Oneg, Oz Tis Anag Al Hashem, the delight. The delight of God. Okay? Raza de Oneg, the secret of this experience called Oneg. The secret is V'nahar Yotze Me Eden Lahashkos Esagan. Eden, what's Eden? From the last Zohar that we wrote? Eden, this is the Chochmah, this inspiration. Right? The supernal inspiration called Eden. The river emanates out to irrigate the Gan. What are Roshei Tevos for those three attributes, Rabosai? Eden, Nahar, Gan. What does that spell? Oneg. Eden, Nahar, Gan is Oneg. Meaning what? Perush. The person receives the Chachma that is beyond him, the Chachma Stima, the Chachma Ilah. He receives it from his friend, from his teacher. He's inspired by something that is outside of his purview. He receives that Eden, he takes it, he thinks about it. He analyzes it, he inculcates it. That's the nahar, the flow of the river. And the gan, which is a slightly different conversation, but just for purposes of brevity, gan is the application. It's the application. where he finds a way to actually use it and make meaningful use of it in the world. That process is oneg. The oneg, feeling the inspiration flow into your mind and through your body and into actualization in the world. That's oneg. The isle reshulak is hapechle, but someone who turns this order around is hapechle lenega tzoras. How does oneg turn into nega, Rabosai? How does oneg turn into nega? Just with the letters. Oneg is ayin nun gimel, eden nahar gan. But what happens if you skip the eden part? If you skip the chachma stage, you take the eden and you put it at the end. It becomes from oneg into nega. Negatzaras. A person who thinks that, again, the sum total of everything, the sum total of all wisdom I already contain everything. And it's just a matter of thinking about it hard enough in order to be able to find the right answer. Someone who has that hubristic, that haughty perspective of himself and the world is nega. Nega, which is death, right? Nega, tzaras, the dinim of tzaras, as we'll see, Bezrat Hashem, and Parshas, right, when we get to Sefer Vayikra. Tzaras is a miniature version of Misa. All of the dinim of the Mitzorah parallel the din of Tumas Meis. Right? A person, there's a version of Tumas Ohel, that a Mitzorah walks into a house, he makes everything Tameh, he has to sit there for a certain amount of time, or whatever, he makes everything in the house Tameh, he has to leave the city, just like a dead body has to leave the city. There are all these, right, all these parallels with the sprinkling of the Ezov, it's like parallels one-to-one. Right? Because the Mitzorah is a miniaturized dead body. As the Pasuk says, also a Pasuk from Eov, Yamusu velo b'chachma. Death comes from lack of wisdom. And it's not a coincidence that as the many of the Bali Agadata point out, Chacham gematria chayim. Chacham is gematria chayim. Chacham. Because again, feeling this experience of the Eden Nahar Gan, of the Oneg, is life itself. Think about how the collapsed world of someone who traverses through life thinking that the sum total of everything is already contained within him. There's nothing beyond his own horizon. That's it. All that's here is there. What you see is what you get. It's such a sad place to be if you think about the full implications of that. But the Chacham, the Chaim sees the world, sees the reality in which he lives as an infinite potentiality of Chachma Ilah, of supernal wisdom that he has the ability to access. He has the ability to access this Ein Sof. If only he has the humility of Chachma Mei Ayin Timotzei, if he lives just a little bit of humility, to ask his teacher, to sit with his friend, to just sit with your friends. Again, this used to be a practice that, right, we have few remnants of this. One of the innovations of the Tnuas HaMusar of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was to institute these practices, where Talmidim in the yeshiva, without the Rabbanim, the Talmidim in the yeshiva would sit, they would sit together and they would talk and they would be honest with each other and they would be real, right? The Hasidei Chabad today have a very, very important practice of the Hitva'adut, right? The sitting together. People just sit together. That's what they do. They sit. They sit and they speak. The Chaverim Makshivim. They sit and they listen. And that discourse is the Shechina. It is the Hashra'as HaShechina. There's a Talmud of the Arizal who lived in Tzfat 500 years ago. A little bit less than 500 years ago, his name was Avraham Mimon. And he wrote a relatively well-known piyut called Kel Mistater. It's in many of the ventures. You can find it. It's such a rare thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful poem. It's really just incredible. Like his mastery of Lashon HaKodesh, and everything rhymes, and it's really, really beautiful. And the nigunim, that the classical nigunim that are usually put to the words, are also very, very nice. There are 10 stanzas in this poem, each one of them paralleling one of the midos that we associate with the Tzuras Adam, right? The Sheva midos listed in Divrei Hayamim, the Chashem Hagdula, the Hagvura, etc., right? The 7 attributes that are listed there, the 7 lower attributes, and the 3 attributes of cognition that we said now, Chochma, Tvuna, and Das. Actually, it's a little complicated because there's a slight tweak in the first 3. But anyway, that's beyond the scope of this conversation. Anyway, in the stanza on Chachma, what's the stanza on Chachma? How does he describe Chachma? Bereishis Torasecha Hakeduma. In the beginning, generative force of the Torah, Rishuma Chachmascha Hastuma. That is where your satum, the chokhma astuma, the hidden wisdom, is written down. Me ayin timotzei v'hi ne'elama. Hi ne'elama. It's fundamentally hidden. Reishis chokhma yiras Hashem. The generator of wisdom is to live in awe of Elokus. To live in awe. A person who lives in constant awe, in constant enchantment, in constant wonder, constantly seeking and aspiring to expand his horizons, that's someone who is chasing after Chachma. That's someone who's open to hear what his Chavrusa has to say, who's open to hear what the other guy's Chavrusa has to say, who's open to hear what anyone has to say. Ezu Chachma halomi mikol adam. Right? That's saying, it's describing the personality of the person. He's so attuned, he has his ears open all the time. Wherever he goes, he's looking for the opportunity to expand that horizon, because he knows that the chachma is satum. It's satum. It's fundamentally beyond him, and he's looking for someone to give him that initial trigger, that initial initiation into chachma. Someone who traverses the world with that is chayim. He is in life itself. He's living the oneg. He's living the Eden Nahar Gan. He's living it. I want to just end off with one small nakuda. In the pasuk in Yishayahu, the pasuk itself has nothing to do with what we're talking about now, but just linguistically, it's. What pasuk did I say? Perek Chaf Bez Pasuk Yud Tes. Ah, V'haya b'yom ahu V'karasi la'avdi. V'karasi la'avdi. The context of this parak in Yishayahu is calling out the treacherous behavior of certain members of Chizkiyahu's court. Right? What's the context? Ashur is coming. They've invaded Eretz Yisrael. They're conquering city after city in Mamlechas Yehuda, and they're coming closer and closer to Yerushalayim. And the force of the Assyrian army seems unstoppable. And there are many people in the court of Chizkiyahu HaMelech who say that the only option is to surrender essentially and to collaborate with them. Okay? So Yishayahu is calling out prophetically, he's saying that, you know, you should know Chizkiyahu, there are people that are conspiring against you, essentially. Okay? And Yishayahu is saying that to replace these high officials who are essentially planning to betray the Jewish people, right? To betray the Jewish people and hand them over to the Assyrian army, okay? He's going to replace them with noble tzaddikim, okay? V'aya b'yom ahu, on that day, v'karasi la'avdi le'Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. He's going to replace the high officers. He's going to replace Shebna, who was the, right, Shebna Sofer, the secretary of the king, the private secretary who, again, he betrayed Chizkiyahu and collaborated with Sancheriv. I'm going to call Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. Okay? The Karasi. Says the Targum on this Pasuk, the Karasi. V'yebi donahi, in that day, the Arbe la'avdi le'el yakim. I will make great. Arbe. Okay? How do you translate the kara in Aramaic? It's a bit of a trick question. Where do you translate kara in Aramaic is? Kara. Right, you open up in the first pasuk and say, Vayikra. Vayikra el Moshe. The kara. The kara of the Moshe. Yeah? What's this va'arbe? I will make great. So says Rashi, va'arbe. I'm so sorry. The arbe loshon gedula. Arbe is connoting the idea of stature, of making great. Ukemoshen emar. Re'e karasi b'shem. I have called by his name, Bitzalel ben Uri ben Chur lemate Yehuda. The karasi. And as Unkla says on that pasuk, again, the pasuk that we quote in the beginning of the Chabura, in Parshas Vayakel, okay? Re'e karasi b'shem, the arbe. The arbe, I have made him great. Shemen hamishcha. Shemen hamishcha. Mishcha deravusa. The oil of greatness. Greatness. What's being said over here is that when God calls out to someone to give them a position of stature, to elevate them, to bring them up to a place where they weren't before, it's not just Stam calling them out to get their attention. It's not like you call someone from across the room because you want them to turn around so you can say something to them. It's an invitation. You're bringing them somewhere where they weren't before. Mishcha deravusa. It's the oil that makes someone great. And the kriya, that is a calling out of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to that person. To call out, to elevate, the arbe, and I will make great. The truth is, Rabosa, that this voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling out is being called out all the time. It's constantly being called out. God is constantly calling out to make each individual great. Right? As the Rambam says in Chelek Beis of Mor Nevuchim, Perek Yud Beis, if I'm not mistaken. Right? HaShefa Me'ez HaElokim, He Shefa Tmidis. The Shefa coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constant. It's not like sometimes the faucet is on, sometimes the faucet is off. No, the faucet is always on. The question is, are you receiving it or not? There are some people that have the frequency to receive the Shefa, and some people are on a different frequency. The question is, are you on the right frequency? That's the only question. Bitzalel heard the Kriya. He was the one that heard the Kriya. So he was the Arbe. He was made great. Right? Someone who hears the Tochacha of the Tzaddik, he receives the Shemen, as David HaMelech says. And he prays, the Melech prays to be right, to merit to hear this tochacha, to be able to hear this kriya. And all it requires is a little bit of humility. That's all it requires. And with that first initial glimpse into what's possible, the initial glimpse into the possibilities, to know the limitless horizons that are beyond our very, very narrow purview. What we're able to receive from our friends, from our chavrusos, from our rabbanim, for sure, is truly beyond anything that we can possibly imagine. Hachachma me'ayin timsa. And from the ayin, we merit the oneg of Eden Nahar Gan. Chizku v'yamu devavchem kol miyachem la'ashem. Yisho kol.